The Lord be with you. Welcome, welcome in the name of our suffering servant, our crucified Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We began our Holy Week journey to the cross and empty tomb on Sunday with our Palm Sunday celebration. The children came in waving their palm branches and we sang, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Last night we began to hear our continuous reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we see that the events of this week unfold very, very quickly. We pray that God would richly bless us as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We also have an opportunity during these Holy Week services to hear from our confirmands. Confirmation is on Saturday evening at the Easter Vigil service, and we have one essay tonight, one essay tomorrow. We'll pick up part four of our questioning during the service tomorrow night as well. Please keep our 10 confirmads in your thoughts and prayers. A couple of words on our worship service this evening. The opening hymn is number 434. We heard in the prelude, "Lamb of God, pure and holy." Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Please note we'll be following the Lenten responses. We have a special insert for Tuesday in Holy Week, and the theme and the sermon will be on that gospel reading from John chapter 12. We'll make sure that we're on the right page at the right time. We'll conclude, as we have been doing with our non-communion services during Lent, we'll conclude by praying the litany. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special season and this extra special week. Help us to see that the gift of your Son Jesus is sufficient to pay for all sin, for all people, for all time. Tonight, help us to fix our eyes on the glory of Jesus, the glory of His crucifixion, His glory for us. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 434. Order of Vespers, page 229. Please stand as you're able. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Sing together the introit appointed for the day. Please be seated. Samantha, come on down. Our confirmand tonight is Samantha Robler, and her essay is on Psalm 22, verse 6. And Samantha and I made a deal, and she wrote it, and I'm going to read it. Okay. Hi, my name is Samantha Robler, and my confirmation verse is Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse can teach us a lot about how parents should raise their children, and how children should expect and wish to be brought up. It is the duty of the parents and other authorities in a child's life, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to bring the children who are under their care up in the nurture and admiration of the Lord. They are to do this by praying with and for them, by bringing them up under the means of grace and the glory of the Word, by instructing them in the principles of religion, teaching them their duty to God and to man as a child of God, and setting a good example of a holy life. The parents should demonstrate these things according to the child's capacity, or as they are able to understand and receive the instructions given them. As a child grows and matures, it is important that he or she knows right from wrong. It is both the job of the parents and the pastor to teach the child what God tells us. The child should be taught about the Ten Commandments and study the Bible to set a firm foundation for the rest of their life as a Christian. A child that goes to church and Sunday school at young ages is much more likely to become a churchgoer for life, allowing them to further their relationship with Christ and their knowledge of the Word. This verse stresses the simple principle that education in the home forms a child throughout their entire lifetime. There is only one right way to educate a child, and that is God's way, the way of life. That way is explained in great detail in Proverbs. Since it is obvious that early training secures lifelong habits, parents must insist upon this way, teaching God's Word and enforcing it with loving discipline and consistency throughout the child's early life. Learning and memorizing aspects of your faith at a young age will give you so many things to draw on for the rest of your life. Many children, as they get older, will begin to stray from God and the church. This is why it is so important to continue a child's education well into this stage in their life. The job of the authorities in a child's life is to give them support, heart, and mind to help them during this troubled time, to keep pointing them toward a path back to the good and stable life that God has given them. Because, after all is said and done, where there was a good education, the impressions do not easily wear off, nor do people usually go against the good way they have been brought up in. And after years of maturity and understanding, their hearts will be seasoned with the grace of God that they were taught as a child. They can then put into practice and continue on the paths of truth and holiness that have been brought for them. Parents often fail in their responsibility, but so do children. And regardless of the efforts of the parents and children receiving the training, do not work to use it in their own lives, the result is failure. For example, a child might listen to lectures on playing the saxophone for the rest of his life and never become an effective musician. Or a one-legged man may listen to the finest instruction in track and will still never be able to run. Both parents and children have responsibility in the training effort. And if there is a lack of effort on either part, the conclusion is failure. For example, let's say that there are two sons of the same family, both of which received the same training and education, but in the end they turn out to be vastly different in character, the one faithful, the other unfaithful. This can only be explained on the grounds of difference in the sons, not in the training of which they received. The failure that comes from this is against God's Word, and anything against God's Word is sin. We should strive to fulfill God's Word, not in an attempt to get to heaven by our works, but because we want to hallow God's name by leading holy lives according to His Word. But since we are unable to refrain from sinning, Jesus died on the cross to forgive those sins. Where we fail, He succeeds. He lived a holy life and paid for the sins of the whole world and died the death that we deserve, so that all believers will be saved. God forgives all of our failures and gives us the strength needed to go on. What this verse means to me is that I should do my best to allow myself to further my education of the Word. I know that it is not solely the responsibility of my parents and teachers to make sure that I am raised and taught well, but that I have to want to and work for it as well. I also know that what I am learning should not only stick with me while I'm in my confirmation classes, but that it should stay with me and influence me, my decisions, and my values for the rest of my life. I know as well that it can be a tremendous pressure on my parents and teachers to make sure that I turn out to be a good person of my faith and an effective member of society. And I should be incredibly thankful for their efforts and make it as easy on them as possible. Thank you for listening to my essay on Proverbs 22:6. Once again, the verse says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Great job.
Good job, Pete.
I'm going to send this with you. Your grandma might want a copy of it. I have to say that was probably the most educational and didactic confirmation essay that I have ever had in my 25 years of doing this. Thank you, Samantha. Outstanding job. We continue now with our office hymn, O Sacred Head Now Wounded, hymn 450.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for Tuesday in Holy Week is from Jeremiah chapter 11. The Lord made it known to me, and I knew. Then you showed me their deeds. But I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me that they devised schemes, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges rightly, who tests the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God.
Kyrie eleison.
The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you, in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in His testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 23rd verse. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him, so that the words spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe. For again Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my word and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has Himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Lenten Responsory, page 231. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for You are the God of my salvation. In You, O Lord, do I put my trust. Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for You are the God of my salvation.
And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." This is our text. The glory that Jesus spoke of begins with His suffering at the cross. He is the grain of wheat that falls into the earth and dies. In His hour of glory, He is stripped naked, beaten, spat upon, mocked, ridiculed, and finally lifted up on a cross to die. To our human ears, this is a strange glory. And worst of all, He is forsaken by God His Father. This is the kind of glory that our culture has no interest in. This is the kind of suffering that we despise. Now, our technology and science have made a business out of making it possible for us to avoid this suffering and death in many ways. People don't see suffering or disease or sickness or dying like we did in previous generations. When the suffering of old age comes upon us, we send our elders off to nursing homes, out of sight, out of mind. And our dead are whisked away to funeral homes where we pay professionals to make them look more beautiful than they did in life. We often don't speak of death. We say, "She has passed on. He's in a better place." We strive to insulate ourselves from the reality of death. And we love to watch movies of young, beautiful people thinking that perhaps this will hide us from the reality that with every passing day we are one day closer to the grave. But for all our efforts, in spite of all the scientific and medical advances, the mortality rate has not changed. It remains at 100%. Yoga will not help you. Neither will the new skin cream or that advanced medical procedure. In the end, every man and woman born in Adam will die. Suffering is unavoidable. Death is inescapable. And anybody who's being honest will admit this. We need a Savior. Now, the problem that we sinful men had with Jesus was not that we didn't want a Savior. We did want a Savior, but not this kind of Savior. We wanted rescued from suffering and death. We wanted Him to eliminate and abolish these things. And instead, Jesus promised, you will have suffering in this life. In fact, as one of his followers, you will probably have more suffering. Worse yet, he said, truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. When sinful man hears these words, he says to Christ, thanks, but no thanks. If your salvation includes suffering and death, then I'll take my chances on my own. I'll bet on my own horse. After all, I'm a pretty good person. And then we proceed to list our petty accomplishments before God, all the things that we do, how we volunteer at the food bank and donate to charity, all good things to do. But it's so easy for us to trust in our good lives and good works, thinking that these will rescue us from suffering and protect us from death. And who would dare to speak against donating blood to the Red Cross or sending money to the Mission Society? Surely, the world will always highly esteem and praise these things. And certainly, these are good things to do. If you live a good and peaceable life, your neighbors and family will thank you. And you can always count on the praise of this world. But the suffering of the cross, this is not something that appeals to our sinful nature. In fact, many Christians have forsaken the words of Christ because they are harsh and turn instead to the social gospel that is so pleasing to our sinful ears. Luther warns us, although the works of man always seem attractive and good, they are nevertheless likely to be mortal sins. It's no accident that the world loves these good works and yet the world despises the work of Christ. And Luther continues, although the works of God are always unattractive and always appear evil, they are nevertheless eternal merits. There is no salvation from suffering and death apart from the suffering and death of Christ. And our sinful nature will always recoil in horror from Christ's cross. To those that are perishing, it is the savor of death. And so here's the good news. Jesus didn't ask you to make a decision for Him. He didn't wait for you to choose suffering and death. When Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, He spoke first of Himself. He is the grain that came down from heaven to earth. He is the bread of life that was broken and crucified, died and was buried. You couldn't, you wouldn't choose Him. But He chose you. He poured out His soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. He chose to live among us as one of us. And His enemies, as we heard in the Old Testament reading, devised evil schemes saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut Him off from the land of the living. And Jesus did not run from this death that we prepared for Him. Instead, He embraced it. He sowed His life into the earth and He poured out His blood upon our cursed ground. And because Jesus fell into the ground and died, He does not abide alone, but He bears much fruit. And His fruit that He bears is found in the most unlikely places. Look around. Jesus says, I am the vine, and through baptism, you have been grafted in as one of His branches. And we have His promise. Wherever I am, there will my servant be also. The perfect life that we could not live, the suffering and death that we tried our best to avoid, He lived and suffered and died for us. And St. Paul tells us, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And so as Christians, we no longer have to spend our lives desperately trying to avoid suffering and death. We do not fear these things because we see suffering differently than the world. Strange as this may sound, in Christ, suffering becomes for us a blessing rather than a curse. When we suffer, we no longer see this as a mark of God's displeasure. For He has promised that He will walk with us in every suffering. He will be with us in our last hour. And He will use these things in life to draw us closer to Himself. And so when we suffer for the sake of Christ, we count it a joy to be worthy to bear His name. And even when we suffer because of our sinful nature that still remains, we know that He is working these things for our good. We cling to His promise that just as we are united with Christ in death, so we shall share in His resurrection from the dead. For what is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. So yes, we Christians will suffer on this earth. But we have His promise that He is with us. And when our days of suffering are over, when our last hour, the hour of death, draws near, we can boldly say, death, do your worst. I do not fear you. Your power over me has been broken. Your sting has been lost. You could not hold my Savior, and you shall not hold me. For I serve Christ, and I must go to Him. Where He is, there I shall be. Death, you are to me but the gateway to glory, the entrance into eternal life. For in the cross of my Savior I glory, and it is everything to me. And now may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding guard and keep you in this faith, trusting in the cross of your Savior unto life everlasting. Amen. Please remain seated for the canticle, page 451.
welcome the name of Jesus, His glory, in exchange for our sin. Thanks be to God. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share your mailing address with us so we can acknowledge your presence in worship tonight. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
In addition to the prayer requests listed in our news and notes, we remember Sue Wesch's brother-in-law, whose mother was laid to rest this very day. We stand for the litany, page 288, page 288. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity, by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment, we poor sinners implore you to rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To raise those who fall, and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to comfort all who mourn, especially Sue's brother-in-law as he mourns his mother's death, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. O Christ, O Lord, O Christ, O Lord, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Almighty and everlasting God, grant us by your grace so to pass through this holy time of our Lord's Passion, that we may obtain the forgiveness of our sins. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn 432. 432.
Again, welcome. That's a beautiful and haunting way to end our worship service, as we did last night as well. In silent pain, the eternal Son hangs derelict and still. He did that for you and for me. And in that cross, in that suffering, is not only Christ's glory, but our glory as well. We'll gather again tomorrow evening at 6:30. Please note that we will not have a fellowship meal. We're all done with those for our Lenten Wednesdays. And on Thursday, we will have an afternoon service, 12:15, and then we'll come back again at 6:30. Monday, Thursday, those services will be the same. On Good Friday, we'll gather at 12:15 for the Treor service, our focus on the seven words that Christ spoke from the cross. Friday evening, we'll gather at 7:30 for the Tenebrae service of darkness. Easter Vigil Saturday at 6 p.m. And then on Sunday morning, we'll have just a little different schedule than we normally do. No Sunday school or Bible study. We'll have three worship services, 6 a.m. sunrise service. Our divine services will be at 8:30 and 10:30, breakfast in between, all of that stuff. The 6 a.m. service will be broadcast live on KFOR AM 1240. And all of our Sunday services and Wednesday services are, of course, broadcast on our own radio station, KNNA 95.7. Lifelight on Thursday? Okay, no Lifelight on Thursday? Oh, special music, Kristen, Robin, outstanding. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We still have a little time yet. If you can help and sign up for some Easter goodies, that would help out the youth. Have a great day and Holy Week in the Lord Jesus.